Welcome everybody here this morning. It's great to have our members and our visitors with us as we gather together on this Lord's Day to worship God. I apologize for being tireless again this week. I am better, but I'm still a little swollen, so it's kind of hard to button this top button. But Lord willing, by next Sunday, I'll have a tie and I'll be proper again. We have a special holiday coming up this week. It's a holiday in which we typically have friends and family together, people that we care about, that we love. We get together for a meal, and we call it Thanksgiving. The purpose of Thanksgiving, of course, originally started way back when with the pilgrims, was to recognize the blessings that God, and of course the pilgrims recognized God, the pilgrims understood that God had taken care of them, and the recognition that the blessings that we have, the resources, the food, the clothing, the shelter that we have, God has given us. Thanksgiving every year that comes around, a lot of times the commercialism of it in our society and the recognition of everything else that goes with it. We think about turkey, we think about the cranberry sauce, we think about football sometimes when it comes to Thanksgiving. But most of all, I think that for especially those of us who are Christians, when we think about Thanksgiving, we think about the fact that this is a day to remember our blessings. But also as Christians, we know and realize that Thanksgiving is no different than any other day, or shouldn't be any different than any other day, when it comes to remembering our blessings. Realizing that God takes care of us every day, yes, physically, but also spiritually. Understanding that God has blessed us with all of the spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. And understanding that Thanksgiving is an opportunity to be with family, to be with loved ones, to be with friends, to express to them how much we care about them and how much we're thankful for them. Last year for Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving lesson or whatnot, we talked about praise and Thanksgiving. And I was thinking this year about what specific, if there's one thing in this world, I mean, obviously we could talk all day long about the spiritual blessings we have in Christ. But if there's one physical blessing that all of us should be the most thankful for, out of everything that we might have on a list of physical blessings, I think probably the majority of us would put at the very top of the list the families that we have. Whether it's our parents, our grandparents that raised us, whether it's our siblings, our children, all of us have some relationship in this world that relates itself to that of a family. And the recognition of that bond that is created, that recognition and understanding that these individuals have cared for me when it comes to my grandparents, my parents. These individuals rely on me when it comes to my children, my grandchildren. And the bond that is created, the examples that we have for one another, this is something God has designed for us. He has designed it to be a blessing. And it is to be a blessing. And sometimes our society is so caught up in the commercialization of Thanksgiving, caught up in the food and the football and everything else that happens on Thanksgiving. I think it's important that we take a moment, just a few moments this morning, to remember to appreciate our family. Not just on Thanksgiving, but every day. Remembering that God has given this to us as a blessing. And that starts with the marriage relationship. The marriage between a husband and a wife that then brings about the opportunity to have children and grandchildren, that bond that is created between them. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 24, God realizes that there's no companion that is fitting for Adam. So he causes a deep sleep to come upon Adam. He takes a rib from him and he creates woman. And so in verse 23, two, the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." And verse 24 describes this this binding of the one another, the two becoming one flesh, this relationship that is created and established by God. This is a blessing given by God. In Proverbs chapter 18 and in verse 22, Solomon says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." In Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 4, the Hebrew writer says, "Marriage is honorable among all and the bed undefiled." Marriage has the constant tradition of man, the constant recognition of man. Marriage isn't condemned. It's respected. It's acknowledged. And certainly as God has instituted the relationship, it is something that we rely on. It is a relationship that provides us great benefit and great blessing. We realize that each spouse fills a role for the other. We see in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 33, as Paul's describing the relationship between the church and Christ, he uses the example of the husband and the wife, where he says, "Nevertheless," verse 33, "let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." And of course, in Titus chapter 2, Paul will remind the older women to tell the younger women that they're to love their husbands and to love their children. The way that God has designed this relationship, it is to be a blessing because each spouse fills the role that is required of them, that is needed of them. Each one recognizes the needs of the other. Each one, and I'm sure every married couple has probably experienced occasions where you have one spouse that is down, either physically or mentally, spiritually, going through something emotionally, and the other is there to pick them up. And then sometimes the shoe's on the other foot, and that other spouse is there to pick that spouse up, to help through life and through life's challenges and trials. That spouse is there, and that's God's design for those who are married. In Titus chapter 2 and in verse 4, as I mentioned, that the older women admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and in verse 3, Paul tells the husbands, "Let the husband render to his wife the affection due to her, and likewise also the wife to her husband." This is a relationship that is a blessing from God. And especially when we consider the physical blessings given to us, the physical blessings that we have with regard to our families. For those of us who are married and we have that relationship with our spouse, that is a blessing from God, and we should recognize it as such and be thankful for it. Then we have the blessing of parents. You know, usually parents perhaps get the most attention on Mother's Day and Father's Day come May and June, but it's important to remember that without our parents, first of all, we wouldn't be here, but second of all, for those of us especially who had moral parents or believing parents, hopefully they were believing, parents that had good examples for us, parents that took care of us, that loved us, that is the ultimate, when it comes to parents, parents are often willing to give the ultimate sacrifices for their children. And we consider the fact that parents are a blessing from God. We need to remember children, and all of us at one point were children. Some of us still have our parents with us, some of us don't. But we appreciate, we thank God for those individuals, those grandparents that we've had. Maybe they were mentors, teachers that have helped us in our lives, people that filled those roles of watching over us. In Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 20, Paul tells children, and it's very rare that Paul addresses anyone but adults, but on a few occasions Paul addresses children. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." He repeats something similar in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, where he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth." There is a recognition, in addition to the spiritual guidance that parents can provide, there is physical benefit from parents obeying your parents and from understanding the direction and teaching of your parents. That it may be well with you. You may live long on the earth. See, parents have been there. They've done that. They've gone through what you've been through. Yeah, decades may have passed. You may think centuries have passed between the two. But in the end, people don't change. Technology changes. The year on the calendar changes. But people never change. The situations, the temptations, the trials, the challenges, the hurdles, they're all always the same. And those, that wisdom, no matter whether it's from a grandparent, from a parent, it's going to translate for you as well. Children, obey your parents. Respect them. Honor them. Recognize that God has given you those parents for a reason. They're there to help you, to be a benefit, a blessing for you. In Romans chapter 1 and in verse 28, both here and in 2 Timothy, Paul warns about the declining nature of society and what's going to create grievous times, perilous times. He describes the downfall of the Gentiles in Romans chapter 1, verse 28. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. And notice this list of things that were not fitting. They're not proper. God doesn't want them to do it, but they did it anyway. Verse 29, they were filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. And there at the end of verse 30, disobedient to parents. Verse 31, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Notice in this list of sinful behavior, wicked behavior, you have this one that you look at it, you read it, you think, oh, really, is that so bad? In the midst of haters of God, violent, proud, inventors of evil things, you have disobedient to parents. In our society, that isn't really that big a deal. Both on the parents' end and the kids' end. Eh, disobedient to parents, big whoop. Everybody does it. But notice the importance placed by Paul, both here in Romans chapter 1 and in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 1. Where Paul, talking about the Romans, these are the things that the Gentiles were and did. But now going forward, Paul warns Timothy in verse 1 of 2 Timothy 3, know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. What will make them so perilous, Paul? For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And he continues this list and culminates in verse 5, that it'll have an appearance of godliness. How it's being sold to people, these characteristics being presented to people, it's going to seem as if it might be okay. So both in times past, one of the evil sins that man has been involved in that has led to his downfall was disobedient to parents. And one of the characteristics of man that's going to make the end times, our times, so perilous is that people will be disobedient to parents. And this all goes back to the respecting of authority and the respecting of the hierarchy God has placed in our lives for a reason. To recognize the blessing of those who are taking care of us, who watch over us, who rule, yes, have authority over us. We are to respect that and submit to that. Because when you have a lack of obedience to parents and parents who are unwilling to enforce that obedience, you have the rotting of a core of a society because they refuse to acknowledge any authority. They want what they want. They don't care what anybody else says. And if they're not going to listen to parents, they're not going to listen to the king. They're not going to listen to the police. They're not going to listen to anybody. Children are to obey their parents. We are to respect our parents, honor them, recognize them for the sacrifices they've made on our behalf. thank them for everything they've done for us. In Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 23, out of all the examples that we could use, and certainly including Jesus' own parents, Joseph and Mary, who because of the warning from God about Herod escaped to Egypt, we also have the example of Moses and his parents. And notice, a lot of times we read through the Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter of faith, we read through this and we think about Moses' faith. But it wasn't just Moses' faith that is commended. Notice in Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his... That wasn't Moses' faith. Moses couldn't have faith when he was born and 3 months old. He was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. Even though they knew what the consequences would be if they were caught, by faith they kept him safe. That was their child. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and in verse 4, writing about widows, who is a widow indeed, as the King James would put it, Paul emphasizes the need to take care of, in this case, in this context, widows. But notice how Paul, it's even broader than that. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and in verse 4, if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home, and to repay their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God. Notice Paul doesn't just apply it just to widows. He says, let them show piety at home, respect, reverence, and even further into this, godliness or piousness, which is seeking to please God. You do so by respecting and honoring your parents. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Paul says, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. As we're able, we need to make sure we take care of those who have taken care of us, who sacrificed sometimes their livelihood, their careers, sacrificed their health for us, and certainly their mental health, certainly as children who stress our parents out. They've taken care of us for so long. The least we can do is seek to take care of them. Yes, physically, there's that application here in 1 Timothy 5. But in more ways than that too, emotionally and mentally and spiritually, recognizing the blessing they have been for you and for me. And as children, a lot of times we think of ourselves adults. We don't think of ourselves as children anymore. My mom still texts me and calls me, you're still my baby. Thanks, Mom. I'm 34 years old and I'm still her baby. Okay? No matter how old we get, especially for mamas, dads too, they're still our babies. Okay? Even when they're 50, 60 years old, they're still our kids. But you know what? Some of the smallest of us children, some of us who are 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, 6 years old, you know what? You're valuable too. And even the smallest of us can be examples. Even the small of us can be noted for our behavior, for our conduct, for our character. In Proverbs chapter 5 and in verse 11, or I'm sorry, Proverbs chapter 20 and in verse 11, Solomon says, even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and right. Well, Paul says that one of the things that is pure and right is honoring your father and your mother, to obey your parents. Even the smallest child can be an example of showing proper respect and appreciation for your parents or for your grandparents, those who are raising you. And you show that appreciation, you show how grateful you are to them, not just with your words. Actions speak louder than words. In Proverbs chapter 5 and in verse 11, Proverbs chapter 5, Solomon is warning his sons about the evil woman, not to follow after her, not to be seduced by her. And in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 11, he says, and you mourn at last, as he describes the scenario in which you do follow after her. You are seduced by her. He says, you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed, and say, how I have hated instruction, and my heart despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. He shall die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. Those who instruct us, whether it's teachers, mentors, the greatest teachers we have in this world, certainly are our parents, our grandparents, and those of the faith, those in Christ Jesus, who are examples to us. We should listen, because we would not want to come to a point where we look at ourselves and look at our situation and look at perhaps the mistakes we've made and say, oh, how I've hated instruction. My heart despised correction. I haven't obeyed the voice of those who sought my good, those who sought to help me, those who were a blessing to me. I didn't incline my ear to those who instructed me. I could have done better. I should have known better. I did know better. And yet I made these choices anyway. Solomon says, don't make that mistake. Listen to those who are seeking to instruct you and help you, especially those who are giving you the proper example and teaching in Christ Jesus. Be grateful and thankful for them. But then, the shoe needs to be on the other foot as well. There's not a, we have Mother's Day, we have Father's Day, there's not a Children's Day. In fact, one of my kids pointed that out one time. When is Children's Day? Every day is Children's Day, okay? Mothers and fathers, we have our specific days. Children, it's every other day, it's always about the children. So out of 365 days a year, 363-ish is about kids. When we consider parents, no matter how young or old our kids may be, remember that they're a blessing, and we should be thankful for them. In Psalm 127 and in verse 3, the 127th Psalm and in verse 3, the psalmist says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. They are a heritage from the Lord, those of us who are blessed to have children. This 128th Psalm, the very next Psalm over, verse 3, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The psalmists give us the recognition that our families, our spouses, our children, notice how he describes them here in verse 3, like olive plants all around your table. And you think about an olive plant, we think, oh, what's olive plant? But especially in that day and time, an olive plant represented prosperity, represented wealth, it represented having everything you needed. And that's how he describes children, all around your table. In Proverbs 17 and in verse 6, this even extends to grandchildren. Those of us who are grandparents, great-grandparents. I had the good fortune, I don't remember because I was like 1-2 years old, I actually met my great-great-great-grandmother. In one picture, we had 4 or 5 generations. She lived to be 105, 103, something like that. Very, very, very old age. And Proverbs chapter 17 and in verse 6, Solomon says, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father. Notice how Solomon describes children's children are the crown of old men. This is something that is meant to be a glory, meant to be a blessing. And certainly the recognition that child's grandparent is an example, is an instructor, is a teacher. Well, that grandparent certainly should value having those children. The glory of children is their father. And Proverbs 22 and in verse 6, yes, they are a blessing. They are a gift from God. They're a heritage. But they are also a responsibility. Because even though they are children, and we see them, they're little children, they're souls. And God has seen fit to commend to us those little souls for a period of time, however long we're allowed to have these children in our lives. Those little souls are innocent and pure, and they have to be instructed and taught. That's why Solomon says in Proverbs 22 and in verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 13 and in verse 24, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. And we like to emphasize that promptly part, because it doesn't do a whole lot of good if you discipline them a week after the fact. You discipline them right then so that they understand or are aware that what I just did, just now, said, or what I did or didn't do or didn't say, that was wrong. And I need to learn not to do that. I need to be corrected in that. Children are blessings, but they're responsibilities. But you know what? God saw fit to give us those responsibilities because he deemed us capable of handling it. So that in of itself, even the responsibility itself, is a blessing. Knowing that God, he said, I believe that you are able to instruct this child in the way he should go. Psalm 78, in the passage that Trice read, notice how often, and really even extending even further into Psalm 78, how often the psalmist brings up the past and then refers to the fact that this is to be taught to our children and reminded to our children's children so that they will always know the Lord, so that they will know what God has done in the past. He goes kind of in a history lesson, the psalmist does, describing the great works of God, reminding, this is about reminding our children who God is. And the fact that God will always take care of them if they're faithful to them, to Him. And we need to make sure that we're teaching our children to love the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 4, as Paul pivots from talking to the children, he speaks to fathers. He says, you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. That training, that instruction. We're not just dad. We're not just a pal, a friend. We are a teacher, an instructor. And both parents, we're teaching our kids. Do we want to be friends with them? Sure. But you know what? More often than not, especially as they get a little older, they get in their teenage years, you're probably not going to be on great friend terms all the time. And I'm sure we have a lot of parents who've been through that. Sometimes you have to choose to be an instructor and a disciplinarian, someone who disciplines them, more so than someone who just wants to keep them happy. That's not a parent. That's a friend. We need to be a parent. In Proverbs chapter 20 and in verse 7, the righteous man walks in his integrity and his children are blessed after him. Why? Why are they blessed after him? Because of his example. The righteous man walks. This is a path. This is a consistent nature of his life, of his character. He walks in integrity. His children are blessed after him. Why? Because they saw their parent living the way they were supposed to. In Proverbs 31 and in verse 28, in the passage that King Lemuel gives us about the virtuous woman, he describes this virtuous woman and how that her children rise up, verse 28, and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Why? Because of her character. Because of her example. But you know what? As much as we can see the good examples, and as much as we are told to be a good example, we have different examples in the Old and New Testaments of parents who were bad examples. Parents who made mistakes, and then their children often repeated those mistakes. It's important for us as parents to make sure that we value our kids. It's important for us as children to make sure we're listening to our parents and understanding they're seeking to take care of us and watch over us. It's important for us as spouses to value each other, to take care of each other, and to recognize the importance that each one has in our lives, in our children's lives. And when we consider our family tree, when we think about our family, not all of us, I'm blessed to be able to say that anyone on this list, granddad, granny, aunt, mom, dad, uncle, cousin, brother, sister, almost all on my family tree, or at least my immediate family tree, are Christians. I was blessed to be born into a family full of Christians. And I'm grateful every day that I have their example and their character to fall back on. Not all of us are blessed to have that amount of Christians in our life. Sometimes we might be second-generation Christians. Some of us might be first-generation Christians. And maybe no one else in our family are Christians. You know what? It's important for us to appreciate those individuals who took care of us, whether they're Christians or not. Appreciate your families. But on the flip side of this, in addition to our physical family, the last point I want to leave you with this morning is out of all of that, our families, blood, we talk about people who are related to us, who watch over us, take care of us. We love them. But you know what? No one can be closer to us in relationship than those who are part of the body of Christ Jesus. In the case of being a Christian, water is thicker than blood. So even out of all of our physical families that we can be thankful for, that we can recognize our blessings, all the stuff we just talked about, the one thing we need to remember also to be thankful for, not just on Thursday, but every day, is for our family in Christ Jesus. Because no matter what happens, no matter where we go in this world, there is always family nearby. Members of the church, people. In fact, I had, when I was growing up, there was this family, this older couple. They loved to kind of just travel around the United States. Every year, they'd take about a month or so, and they'd just drive in their RV around. And when he got back after one of these trips, he had an invitation that he preached on a Wednesday night. And he said, "It always amazes me everywhere we go. We always go somewhere we haven't been before. Man, it doesn't matter where we are." I think on that particular trip, they'd had their RV breakdown, something happened. And they were needing somebody to kind of, somewhere to stay and somewhere to somebody to drive them somewhere. And there were Christians there. They didn't know them from Adam or from Noah. But still, they were Christians. And he said, "One of the things that amazes me is no matter where we go, we always have family. There's always family there. People who will see us as family. Even if we're not blood related, never known the other from anywhere, these people are Christians." We should most definitely be thankful to God for our physical families and especially for our spiritual families in Christ Jesus, because we will always have brothers and sisters who will always be there for us, who will always help lift us up, who are always going to encourage and pray for us. And for that, and that design that God has established in the church, let us most be thankful. The lesson is yours. If you're subject, we offer the invitation to those who are not Christians to be baptized, have your sins washed away. Those of us who are Christians to make sure we're living our life right in the sight of God. The invitation is extended. If you're subject, please come forward as we stand and sing.